IELTS Special Requirements Sample Listening Test. You will hear a number of different recordings, and you will have to answer questions on what you hear. All the recordings will be played twice. The CD will be paused from time to time to give you time to read the questions and to write and check your answers. Please note that you do not necessarily need to write an answer each time the CD is paused during a section. The test is in four sections. Write all your answers on a separate answer sheet. Now turn to section one. Section one, questions 1 to 7. You will hear a conversation between a customer who is shopping for presents and an assistant in a bookshop. For questions 1 to 7, complete the missing information below. There is an example at the beginning. The answer is written in italics. The conversation relating to the example will be played first. The CD will now be paused to give you time to read the example.
Hello, can I help you?
I'm looking for gifts for my family and I'm having problems choosing items.
Would you like help with gift suggestions?
Yes, please.
Okay. Who's first on your shopping list?
The first one's easy, my dad. He loves golf, so I'd like to buy him Tiger Woods' new book, Power Play.
Mm-hmm.
It's about his career and how he became such a fantastic golfer.
The customer's father is interested in golf, so golf has been written in the space for the example answer. Now we shall begin. Listen carefully to the first part of the conversation and answer questions 1 to 7. Write one word only for each answer. The CD will now be paused to give you time to read questions 1 to 7. Now listen carefully to the first part of the conversation and answer questions 1 to 7.
Hello, can I help you?
I'm looking for gifts for my family and I'm having problems choosing items.
Would you like help with gift suggestions?
Yes, please.
Okay. Who's first on your shopping list?
The first one's easy, my dad. He loves golf, so I'd like to buy him Tiger Woods' new book, Power Play.
Mm-hmm.
It's about his career and how he became such a fantastic golfer.
Right.
But I looked in the sports section and it wasn't there.
Okay, I'll check to see if we stock it. Yes, we do have it, but it's not in the sports section. It's in the section we call people.
Ah?
Yes, in that section we keep biographies and autobiographies. Actually, this week we're offering a 10% discount on that book, so it's cheaper than usual.
Great!
Now, who's next on the list?
My daughter. She's 10. I'd like to get her a book about nature, because she really loves that kind of thing. Can you suggest something she might like?
Currently, one of our most popular children's books is called The Tree. It's wonderful and appeals mainly to girls of that age. Beautifully illustrated and fun to read. Try that. You'll find it in the children's section. It's a great buy at the moment because it comes with a poster.
Perfect.
Now, who's next on your list?
Well, my sister. She's really hard to buy for, unfortunately.
Does she have any hobbies?
Not really, but she and her husband do enjoy camping.
Mm-hmm.
I looked for something in your travel section, but couldn't find anything.
One book she might find interesting is called Touring Around. Have a look at that. Because this is a new release, you'll find it on the ground floor in the section called New Books.
Thanks. Is there a special offer with that as well?
No, unfortunately, not all our items have discounts and free offers.
What a shame.
Mm.
Now, next on the list is my mother.
Right.
She doesn't have many interests, so I'm not sure what she'd like. She's about 65 and a housewife. She does enjoy baking, though.
Well, one of our biggest selling books in this category is the new one by Ed Johnson called Party Cakes.
Wonderful. I'll get that. Will I find it in the cooking section?
Yes, on level one. You're in luck, actually, because this book is in the sale.
That's great. Is there 10% off that as well?
Actually, as part of our special promotion, we are offering 20% off that one.
Wonderful. Okay, one more gift and I'm finished. My uncle. He's another person who's really difficult to buy for.
Okay. What are his hobbies?
Well, he's pretty young and fit, and he enjoys any kind of sport, especially skiing.
Right.
Have you got any suggestions?
Well, we do have one book in stock he might like. It's called Winter Sports. It's got great photographs and has been so popular we've had to order in more stock.
It sounds great. So, is it in the sports section?
Yes.
Now you will hear the first part of the conversation again. Remember, the CD will be paused from time to time to give you time to write one or more answers.
Hello, can I help you?
I'm looking for gifts for my family and I'm having problems choosing items.
Would you like help with gift suggestions?
Yes, please.
Okay. Who's first on your shopping list?
The first one's easy, my dad. He loves golf, so I'd like to buy him Tiger Woods' new book, Power Play.
Mm-hmm.
It's about his career and how he became such a fantastic golfer.
Right.
But I looked in the sports section and it wasn't there.
Okay, I'll check to see if we stock it. Yes, we do have it, but it's not in the sports section. It's in the section we call People.
Ah?
Yes, in that section we keep biographies and autobiographies. Actually, this week we're offering a 10% discount on that book, so it's cheaper than usual.
Great!
Now, who's next on the list?
My daughter. She's 10. I'd like to get her a book about nature, because she really loves that kind of thing. Can you suggest something she might like?
Currently, one of our most popular children's books is called The Tree. It's wonderful and appeals mainly to girls of that age. Beautifully illustrated and fun to read. Try that. You'll find it in the children's section. It's a great buy at the moment because it comes with a poster.
Perfect.
Now, who's next on your list?
Well, my sister. She's really hard to buy for, unfortunately.
Does she have any hobbies?
Not really, but she and her husband do enjoy camping.
Mm-hmm.
I looked for something in your travel section, but couldn't find anything.
One book she might find interesting is called Touring Around. Have a look at that. Because this is a new release, you'll find it on the ground floor in the section called New Books.
Thanks. Is there a special offer with that as well?
No, unfortunately, not all our items have discounts and free offers.
What a shame.
Mm.
Now, next on the list is my mother.
Right.
She doesn't have many interests, so I'm not sure what she'd like. She's about 65 and a housewife. She does enjoy baking, though.
Well, one of our biggest selling books in this category is the new one by Ed Johnson called Party Cakes.
Wonderful. I'll get that. Will I find it in the cooking section?
Yes, on level one. You're in luck, actually, because this book is in the sale.
That's great. Is there 10% off that as well?
Actually, as part of our special promotion, we are offering 20% off that one.
Wonderful. Okay, one more gift and I'm finished. My uncle. He's another person who's really difficult to buy for.
Okay. What are his hobbies?
Well, he's pretty young and fit. And he enjoys any kind of sport, especially skiing.
Right.
Have you got any suggestions?
Well, we do have one book in stock he might like. It's called Winter Sports. It's got great photographs and has been so popular we've had to order in more stock.
It sounds great. So, is it in the sports section?
Yes.
That is the end of the first part of the conversation. The CD will now be paused to give you time to check your answers. Now listen to the rest of the conversation. For questions 8 to 10, complete the notes below. Write one word and or a number for each answer. The CD will now be paused to give you time to read questions 8 to 10. Now listen to the rest of the conversation and answer questions 8 to 10.
Okay, that's all my presents done.
Mm-hmm.
There's one more thing you can help me with. I've been looking for a book for my husband called Italy, Land of Angels.
Did you look in the travel section?
Yes, but I'm pretty sure it's not there.
Oh.
Can you check if you have it in stock?
Of course. The computer says we have stocked that book in the past, but we're no longer stocking it.
Oh, that's too bad. Still, I might write the details down so I can look for it somewhere else.
Okay. The author's name is Samuel Brown.
As in the colour?
That's right.
Thanks.
You might try a small bookshop nearby. It specialises in this type of book. I'll give you the details to write down. It's called The Reading Corner. It's located at 67 Queen Street. I'll give you the phone number too, because they aren't open all the time. It's 3389-4261.
Won't your boss mind you sending customers to another shop?
Not at all. If we no longer stock a book, our policy is to try to help the customer find it. It's all part of the service.
Now you'll hear the rest of the conversation again. Remember, the CD will be paused from time to time to give you time to write one or more answers.
Okay, that's all my presents done.
Mm-hmm.
There's one more thing you can help me with. I've been looking for a book for my husband called Italy, Land of Angels.
Did you look in the travel section?
Yes, but I'm pretty sure it's not there.
Oh.
Can you check if you have it in stock?
Of course. The computer says we have stocked that book in the past, but we're no longer stocking it.
Oh, that's too bad. Still, I might write the details down so I can look for it somewhere else.
Okay. The author's name is Samuel Brown.
As in the colour?
That's right.
Thanks.
You might try a small bookshop nearby. It specialises in this type of book. I'll give you the details to write down. It's called The Reading Corner. It's located at 67 Queen Street. I'll give you the phone number too, because they aren't open all the time. It's 3389-4261.
Won't your boss mind you sending customers to another shop?
Not at all. If we no longer stock a book, our policy is to try to help the customer find it. It's all part of the service.
That is the end of the conversation. The CD will now be paused to give you time to check your answers. That is the end of section 1. Now turn to section 2. Section 2. Questions 11 to 20. You will hear a talk given by an international student counsellor speaking to a group of overseas students during their orientation week. Now listen carefully to the first part of the talk and answer questions 11 to 14. Choose the correct letter, A, B, or C. The CD will now be paused to give you time to read questions 11 to 14. Now listen carefully to the first part of the talk and answer questions 11 to 14.
So the counseling services we offer deal with any problems arising from your studies or in your life outside the university. Let's take academic counseling. If you're confused about subjects or how to combine them in your degree, then we can advise you and discuss the career you are aiming for so that you can see it all in context. We can also chase up your tutor if you're not getting proper feedback on how you are getting on in your subject. Besides help with academic problems, you may also need personal counseling. If you think you're already under stress, well, just wait till classes begin next week. You'll have to start adjusting to teaching and learning methods that may be unfamiliar to you, as well as the mounting pressure as the deadline for that first assignment creeps up on you. And, of course, you have to cope with all this without your usual social network. You know, the social contacts, family and friends, you could normally rely on for help. All of this causes anxiety. Studying overseas can trigger a personal crisis. You may have left a lot of what you might call unfinished business back in your own country. Or you may have interrupted personal relationships, or even sometimes have broken them off to come overseas. And so the student often feels lonely, unhappy, unmotivated, and unable to concentrate on studying. Or there may be other things bothering you. Our resident chaplain can offer you spiritual guidance if that's what you want, or we can put you in touch with community groups that can provide you with social contacts and friendship.
Now you will hear the first part of the talk again. Remember, the CD will be paused from time to time to give you time to write one or more answers.
So the counseling services we offer deal with any problems arising from your studies or in your life outside the university. Let's take academic counseling. If you're confused about subjects or how to combine them in your degree, then we can advise you and discuss the career you are aiming for so that you can see it all in context. We can also chase up your tutor if you're not getting proper feedback on how you are getting on in your subject. Besides help with academic problems, you may also need personal counseling. If you think you're already under stress, well, just wait till classes begin next week. You'll have to start adjusting to teaching and learning methods that may be unfamiliar to you, as well as the mounting pressure as the deadline for that first assignment creeps up on you. And, of course, you have to cope with all this without your usual social network. You know, the social contacts, family and friends, you could normally rely on for help. All of this causes anxiety. Studying overseas can trigger a personal crisis. You may have left a lot of what you might call unfinished business back in your own country. Or you may have interrupted personal relationships, or even sometimes have broken them off to come overseas. And so the student often feels lonely, unhappy, unmotivated, and unable to concentrate on studying. Or there may be other things bothering you. Our resident chaplain can offer you spiritual guidance if that's what you want, or we can put you in touch with community groups that can provide you with social contacts and friendship.
That is the end of the first part of the talk. The CD will now be paused to give you time to check your answers. Now listen to the rest of the talk and answer questions 15 to 20. Choose the correct letter A, B, or C. The CD will now be paused to give you time to read questions 15 to 20. Now listen to the rest of the talk and answer questions 15 to 20.
What about exam stress? It affects nearly everyone to some extent, but especially overseas students like yourselves. There may be a huge amount of family pressure on you to succeed. And if you fail a subject or drop out of a course because it's too difficult, then your self-esteem can suffer. But it's not the end of the world if you don't pass an exam. I had to resit first-year anthropology, so I can certainly offer you a sympathetic ear. Anyway, exam failure can lead to worrying changes in the way you normally behave. You may also be off your food, or you may have dietary problems because the local food is not to your liking and upsets you, and this can affect your health and studies. Glenda Roberts is our dietitian in the health service, and we can put you on to her. And we all have money problems, don't we? But remember, full-time students can get a low-interest loan of up to $600 to buy books and for similar study-related expenses. That's right. And you can get double that amount if you can't afford an item of equipment you need for your course, a musical instrument, for example. And it doesn't stop there. When you move into a flat, Starting up expenses, including furniture for it, can be covered by a loan through the welfare service. See Jill Freeman for details. Can we help you? Well, last academic year, in spite of staff cuts, we counseled 240 international students for a total of 2,600 hours counseling. And finally, we won all but just one of the 12 appeals that we launched on behalf of students. Not too bad for an understaffed service, don't you think? That's all from me. Thank you.
Now you'll hear the rest of the talk again. Remember, the CD will be paused from time to time to give you time to write one or more answers.
What about exam stress? It affects nearly everyone to some extent, but especially overseas students like yourselves. There may be a huge amount of family pressure on you to succeed. And if you fail a subject, or drop out of a course because it's too difficult, then your self-esteem can suffer. But it's not the end of the world if you don't pass an exam. I had to resit first-year anthropology, so I can certainly offer you a sympathetic ear. Anyway, exam failure can lead to worrying changes in the way you normally behave. You may also be off your food. Or you may have dietary problems because the local food is not to your liking and upsets you, and this can affect your health and studies. Glenda Roberts is our dietitian in the health service, and we can put you on to her. And we all have money problems, don't we? But remember, full-time students can get a low-interest loan of up to $600 to buy books and for similar study-related expenses. That's right. And you can get double that amount if you can't afford an item of equipment you need for your course, a musical instrument, for example. And it doesn't stop there. When you move into a flat, starting up expenses, including furniture for it, can be covered by a loan through the welfare service. See Jill Freeman for details. Can we help you? Well, last academic year, in spite of staff cuts, we counseled 240 international students for a total of 2,600 hours counseling. And finally, we won all but just one of the 12 appeals that we launched on behalf of students. Not too bad for an understaffed service, don't you think? That's all from me. Thank you.
That is the end of the talk. The CD will now be paused to give you time to check your answers. That is the end of section 2. Now turn to section 3. Section 3. Questions 21 to 26. You will hear three students discussing an assignment they are going to work on together. Listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 24 by completing the notes below. Write no more than two words and or a number for each answer. For questions 25 and 26, choose two letters, A to E. The CD will now be paused to give you time to read questions 21 to 26. Now listen to the first part of the discussion and answer questions 21 to 26.
Oh, there you are. Good. Sorry, I'm a bit late. There was a long queue. So, have you worked out how to deal with this assignment then?
Not yet. We've only been here a couple of minutes ourselves.
Can you just remind me what the task is exactly?
Well, there are three parts to it. First, we've got to write an essay about ways of collecting data. Then...
What's the title of the essay exactly?
I've got it here. Assess the two main methods of collecting data in social science research.
And how much do we need to write?
1,500 words. That's for the essay. Then for the second part of the assignment, we have to choose one method of data collection and carry out a small-scale study, making appropriate use of the method chosen to gather data from at least 5 subjects.
And then we have to write a report on the study?
That's right, of 3,000 to 4,000 words.
Did you get as far as discussing which form of data collection we should go for? Questionnaire or interview, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we should use a questionnaire. It'll be so much less time-consuming than organising interviews, I reckon. Once we've agreed on the wording of it, we only have to send it out and wait for the responses.
Yes, I think it probably would be quicker. But what did that article he gave us last week say about the quality of data from questionnaires?
I'm pretty sure it recommended questionnaires as a source of highly reliable data. As long as you design the questionnaire properly in the first place, the data will be fine.
No, I'm sure it talked about drawbacks as well, didn't it? Something about the response rate and the problems you get if it's too low?
Yeah, but we only need data from 5 subjects anyway.
Oh, I suppose so. Another drawback I remember it mentioned was that questionnaire data tends not to reveal anything unexpected because it is limited to the questions fixed in advance by the researcher.
Come on, Rosa, this is only a practice. It's not meant to be real research, is it?
Well, not sure about that.
Now you'll hear the first part of the discussion again. Remember, the CD will be paused from time to time to give you time to write one or more answers.
Oh, there you are, good. Sorry, I'm a bit late. There was a long queue. So, have you worked out how to deal with this assignment, then?
Not yet. We've only been here a couple of minutes ourselves.
Can you just remind me what the task is exactly?
Well, there are three parts to it. First, we've got to write an essay about ways of collecting data. Then...
What's the title of the essay exactly?
I've got it here. Assess the two main methods of collecting data in social science research.
And how much do we need to write?
1,500 words. That's for the essay. Then for the second part of the assignment, we have to choose one method of data collection and carry out a small-scale study, making appropriate use of the method chosen to gather data from at least 5 subjects.
And then we have to write a report on the study?
That's right, of 3,000 to 4,000 words.
Did you get as far as discussing which form of data collection we should go for? Questionnaire or interview, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we should use a questionnaire. It'll be so much less time-consuming than organising interviews, I reckon. Once we've agreed on the wording of it, we only have to send it out and wait for the responses.
Yes, I think it probably would be quicker. But what did that article he gave us last week say about the quality of data from questionnaires?
I'm pretty sure it recommended questionnaires as a source of highly reliable data. As long as you design the questionnaire properly in the first place, the data will be fine.
No, I'm sure it talked about drawbacks as well, didn't it? Something about the response rate and the problems you get if it's too low?
Yeah, but we only need data from 5 subjects anyway.
Oh, I suppose so. Another drawback I remember it mentioned was that questionnaire data tends not to reveal anything unexpected because it is limited to the questions fixed in advance by the researcher.
Come on, Rosa, this is only a practice. It's not meant to be real research, is it?
Well, not sure about that.
That is the end of the first part of the discussion. The CD will now be paused to give you time to check your answers. Now listen to the second part of the discussion and answer questions 27 to 30 by completing the notes below. Write no more than 3 words or a number for each answer. The CD will now be paused to give you time to read questions 27 to 30. Now listen carefully to the second part of the discussion and answer questions 27 to 30.
Maybe I'd better go through the article again, just to be sure. Can you remember what it was called?
Sample surveys in social science research, I think. By Meta.
M-E-H-T-A?
Yeah. And he also recommended a more recent book called Survey Research by Bell, I think. It's in that series published by London University.
And if we try to use interviews instead, I saw a book in the departmental library that'll be helpful. It's called Interviews That Work by Wilson, published in Oxford in 1988.
Right. Oh, I've got a tutorial now. Can we meet up again later this week? What about Friday morning?
Suits me. 11 o'clock?
Fine.
Before Friday, I think we should all look through the reading list.
Now you will hear the second part of the discussion again. Remember, the CD will be paused from time to time to give you time to write one or more answers.
Maybe I'd better go through the article again, just to be sure. Can you remember what it was called?
Sample Surveys in Social Science Research, I think. By Meta.
M-E-H-T-A?
Yeah. And he also recommended a more recent book called Survey Research by Bell, I think. It's in that series published by London University.
And if we try to use interviews instead, I saw a book in the departmental library that'll be helpful. It's called Interviews That Work by Wilson, published in Oxford in 1988.
Right. Oh, I've got a tutorial now. Can we meet up again later this week? What about Friday morning?
Suits me. 11 o'clock?
Fine.
Before Friday, I think we should all look through the reading list.
That is the end of the discussion. The CD will now be paused to give you time to check your answers. That is the end of Section 3. Now turn to Section 4. Section 4. Questions 31 to 40. You will hear the beginning of one lecture in a series of lectures about crime. For questions 31 and 32, choose the correct letter A, B, or C. For questions 33 to 38, complete the notes below. Write no more than two words for each answer. For questions 39 and 40, choose two letters, A to F. The CD will now be paused to give you time to read questions 31 to 40. Now listen to the lecture and answer questions 31 to 40.
So far in these lectures, we've been looking at crimes like robbery and murder, both from a historical viewpoint and also in contemporary society. And we've seen that the preoccupation in Western society with crime and with lawlessness is part of a long and continuous tradition, rather than something which is new and unique to modern society. But over the past 70 years or so, there has been a massive increase in one type of crime, which is what's known as corporate crime. Corporate crime is crime which, as the name suggests, is connected with companies, with business organizations. It includes illegal acts of either individuals or a group within the company. But what is important is that these acts are normally in accordance with the goals of the company. They're for the good of the company rather than the individual. It's been defined as, quote, crime which is committed for the corporate organization, the company, not against it, unquote. So crimes like theft by employees, things like embezzlement or fraud against one's actual employer, are excluded according to this definition. The employees may be involved, but they're acting in the first place for the company. They may not even realize they're committing a crime. Or they may realize, but they feel it's excusable because it's policy. Or because otherwise they may lose their jobs. So here really we're talking about the links between power and crime. Now this is one area that much less is generally known about than conventional or traditional crime. It has been relatively ignored by the mass media. For example, it tends to be underreported in comparison with conventional crime in news broadcasts, and in crime serials and films and so on. They very rarely deal with corporate crime. And it also tends to be ignored in academic circles. There's been far more research on conventional crime, and far more data is available. There are several reasons for this lack of interest in corporate crime compared with other types of crime. It's often very complex, whereas with conventional crime, it's usually possible to follow what's going on without specialist knowledge. As well as this, whereas conventional crime usually has a lot of human interest, corporate crime often has much less. The third reason, and possibly the most significant one, is that very often the victims are unaware. They think their misfortune is an accident, or that it's the fault of no one in particular. They're unaware that they've been victims of a crime. So when we look at the effects of corporate crime, we may find it's very difficult to assess the costs. But these costs can be very considerable in both their economic and social aspects. Let's look at the economic costs first. For example, if a company is producing fruit juice, and it dilutes its product so that it's just a little below the concentration it should be, many millions of people may be paying a small amount extra for their carton of orange juice. Now, small amounts like this may seem insignificant for individual customers, too small to worry about. But for the company, this deception might result in massive illegal profit. However, all studies of corporate crime agree that the individuals are in fact deprived of far more money by such crime than they are by conventional crime like robbery and theft. In addition to this, we have to consider the social costs of corporate crime, and these are again very difficult to assess, but they are considerable. They're important because they can undermine the faith of the public in the business world, and also, more importantly, because the main group of people they affect are in fact not the richer sections of society, but the poorer. So here, companies are robbing the poor to benefit the rich. There are two more points to do with corporate crime that I'd like to illustrate with reference to a specific event which occurred several years ago. This was an explosion of a large oil tanker, which caused the loss of more than 50 lives of the crew. It was an explosion which never should have happened, and a subsequent inquiry laid the blame not on anyone who had actually been on the tanker at the time, but on the owners of the tanker. They had deliberately decided not to carry out necessary repair work on the tanker as it was due to be sold, and it was this lack of repair work which was directly responsible for the explosion. Now this illustrates two points to do with corporate crime. First of all, that it does not have to be intentional. The owners of the tanker certainly did not intend it to explode. But very serious consequences can result from people or organizations not considering the possible results of their actions seriously enough. The main crime here was indifference to the human results, rather than actual intention to harm anyone, but that didn't make the results any less tragic. And this leads me to my second point, that corporate crime can have very severe consequences. It's not just a matter of companies making bigger profits than they should do, but of events which may affect the lives of innocent people. And yet very often, companies, because they say they didn't intend to harm anyone, can avoid taking responsibility for the results of their actions, and that has been a very dangerous loophole in the law. Now, a further example of corporate crime was that
Now you will hear the lecture again. Remember, the CD will be paused from time to time to give you time to write one or more answers.
So far in these lectures, we've been looking at crimes like robbery and murder, both from a historical viewpoint and also in contemporary society. And we've seen that the preoccupation in Western society with crime and with lawlessness is part of a long and continuous tradition, rather than something which is new and unique to modern society. But over the past 70 years or so, there has been a massive increase in one type of crime, which is what's known as corporate crime. Corporate crime is crime which, as the name suggests, is connected with companies, with business organizations. It includes illegal acts of either individuals or a group within the company. But what is important is that these acts are normally in accordance with the goals of the company. They're for the good of the company rather than the individual. It's been defined as, quote, crime which is committed for the corporate organization, the company, not against it, unquote. So crimes like theft by employees, things like embezzlement or fraud against one's actual employer, are excluded according to this definition. The employees may be involved, but they're acting in the first place for the company. They may not even realize they're committing a crime. Or they may realize, but they feel it's excusable because it's policy. Or because otherwise they may lose their jobs. So here really we're talking about the links between power and crime. Now this is one area that much less is generally known about than conventional or traditional crime. It has been relatively ignored by the mass media. For example, it tends to be underreported in comparison with conventional crime in news broadcasts, and in crime serials and films and so on. They very rarely deal with corporate crime. And it also tends to be ignored in academic circles. There's been far more research on conventional crime, and far more data is available. There are several reasons for this lack of interest in corporate crime compared with other types of crime. It's often very complex, whereas with conventional crime, it's usually possible to follow what's going on without specialist knowledge. As well as this, whereas conventional crime usually has a lot of human interest, corporate crime often has much less. The third reason, and possibly the most significant one, is that very often the victims are unaware. They think their misfortune is an accident, or that it's the fault of no one in particular. They're unaware that they've been victims of a crime. So when we look at the effects of corporate crime, we may find it's very difficult to assess the costs, but these costs can be very considerable in both their economic and social aspects. Let's look at the economic costs first. For example, if a company is producing fruit juice, and it dilutes its product so that it's just a little below the concentration it should be, many millions of people may be paying a small amount extra for their carton of orange juice. Now, small amounts like this may seem insignificant for individual customers, too small to worry about. But for the company, this deception might result in massive illegal profit. However, all studies of corporate crime agree that the individuals are in fact deprived of far more money by such crime than they are by conventional crime like robbery and theft. In addition to this, we have to consider the social costs of corporate crime, and these are again very difficult to assess, but they are considerable. They're important because they can undermine the faith of the public in the business world. And also, more importantly, because the main group of people they affect are in fact not the richer sections of society, but the poorer. So here, companies are robbing the poor to benefit the rich. There are two more points to do with corporate crime that I'd like to illustrate with reference to a specific event which occurred several years ago. This was an explosion of a large oil tanker, which caused the loss of more than 50 lives of the crew. It was an explosion which never should have happened, and a subsequent inquiry laid the blame not on anyone who had actually been on the tanker at the time, but on the owners of the tanker. They had deliberately decided not to carry out necessary repair work on the tanker as it was due to be sold, and it was this lack of repair work which was directly responsible for the explosion. Now, this illustrates two points to do with corporate crime. First of all, that it does not have to be intentional. The owners of the tanker certainly did not intend it to explode, but very serious consequences can result from people or organizations not considering the possible results of their actions seriously enough. The main crime here was indifference to the human results, rather than actual intention to harm anyone, but that didn't make the results any less tragic. And this leads me to my second point, that corporate crime can have very severe consequences. It's not just a matter of companies making bigger profits than they should do, but of events which may affect the lives of innocent people. And yet very often, companies, because they say they didn't intend to harm anyone, can avoid taking responsibility for the results of their actions, and that has been a very dangerous loophole in the law. Now, a further example of corporate crime was that Victory...
That is the end of the lecture. The CD will now be paused to give you time to check your answers. That is the end of Section 4 and the end of the listening test.